Ksuvos Perek Gimel Mishnah Base 3:2. The Mishnah continues on its topic from before, and it says Ve'elu she'elen kanas. The following women, if someone is ma'anis them, there is no kanas payment, and the reason for these are going to be because either in the first case is there's a presumption that the woman is not a basula, as we see here. It says Haba'al ha'giyores ve'leshvuya ve'leshivcha. If one is ma'anis sleeping with a woman who's a gioras, she's a convert, or a shavuya, a redeemed captive who was Jewish, but she had been held by Gentiles, val hashivcha, or on a Gentile slave girl who was emancipated, as the Mishnah says, sheniftu, the captive was redeemed, shnisgairu, the convert converted, vinishtachru, and the slave girl was emancipated. So then, if Yeseros, if at the time of them returning to the Jewish people, either as a convert, emancipated slave, or as a redeemed captive, they were older than Albanos Shalosh Shanim V'Yom Echad, more than 3 years old, so then the assumption is that they were violated while they were amongst the Gentiles, and therefore they don't have a presumption of being a basula, and therefore there's no kanas payment, because the verse required that the girl was a basula. The Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda omer shvuya shenifdes. If you have a woman who had been held captive, a Jewish woman who was held captive, harehi b'ktusha sa, afal pi shegadola. Says Rabbi Yehuda, a Jewish woman who was held in captivity by Gentiles is presumed to have remained chaste and protected herself, and therefore they didn't violate her, and therefore she would. If one was ma'anaser, that would incur the kanas penalty. Now, there's actually machlokas amoraim, exactly what Rabbi Yehuda means. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he means in general, in all situations. The presumption is that Jewish women protect themselves, they'll do whatever they can to avoid being violated, and therefore, a woman held in captivity, even older than three, does not have the presumption of having been taken advantage of, and therefore, certainly there's a kanas for one who's ma'anasar, but more than that, in general, she's presumed to be untainted, still b'ktushasa, still, and therefore she could stay married to a kohen, she could eat truma, etc. The other opinion, that of Rava, says that Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah is coming to argue just in this localized issue, that we do remain concerned that she was violated and would force her to separate from a kohen and not eat truma, but if someone is ma'anasar, we still force them to pay a kanas, and similarly, if someone marries her, they're forced to make the 200, the full ksuva payment of 200, because in this regard, I'm not regarding kohanim, but in other areas, we still presume that she remains a basula. In any case, the halacha doesn't follow like a Yehuda. Now, the next part of our Mishnah is talking about back to Kamli B'Dirab Mine, where we have women for whom the penalty for sleeping with them would be a capital punishment, execution by the Bezdin. And that being the case, we have the principle of Kamli B'Dirab Mine, that we enforce, we're concerned with a more severe penalty, that being a capital crime of death, and therefore we don't have the Kanas in addition, because that would sort of like demean or diminish the gravity of the primary crime. So the Mishnah says, Habal Bito, if one would sleep with his daughter, this means that, for example, a daughter that was like the offspring of his own rape victim, Bal Bas Bito, or his daughter's daughter, meaning a granddaughter, Bal Bas Bino, also a granddaughter, that's one from the son, Al Bas Ishto, or if we're talking about now his wife's daughter, this could be actually his daughter also, or it could be his stepdaughter, Bal Bas Bina, Bal Bas Bita, or his wife's granddaughter, whether from the son or daughter. It could be his granddaughter too, therefore. Eilem Kanas, in all those scenarios, there's no Kanas, because the penalty for those crimes is Sreifa, is execution. And that being the case, there's because of Kamali B'Dirab Mine, we are worried about in focusing on the severity, the more severe issue of execution, even if we actually won't carry it out. Even if he gets away with it, because let's say he was somehow b'shogeg or something, it doesn't matter once you've transgressed a capital crime, if there also happens to be a lesser monetary issue, we ignore the monetary issue. As the Mishnah says, B'pnei mischayev benafsho. There's no kenas, no penalty, because he's now crossed the line of a capital crime and he's obligated actually for execution. Shemisasu bidei bezdin, and that's a crime that the penalty is through a bezin. In contrast to the previous Mishnah, where we had a karis, that would be at the hands of heaven, but here we have the bezin executing, and the rule is, v'chol mischayev benafsho, once a person has done a crime for which the penalty b'mezid would be execution through the bezdin, and a mishalem mamon, he also doesn't pay payment in addition because of this principle of kamid b'derabmine, and we learn that out from a pasuk shenemar, as the pasuk says. Now the whole pasuk is not quoted here; it's the last part. The whole pasuk is in Shmos, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Beis, 21:22, and it says, "V'chi yinatsu anashim." If two men are fighting, v'nagfu isha hara, and they're intended to, like, basically they're like having a shootout. They want to kill each other, you know? But and along the way, some woman gets caught in the crossfire and they knock her. V'yatsu yaldea, and she has a miscarriage. So these guys are trying to kill each other, but she gets in the way, and in the end, so then she loses a baby. So then the pasuk continues, and this is what is quoted in our Mishnah. V'lo yeh ason. If there was no mishap, meaning if no one actually died, then anoshi anesh, then the perpetrator who caused the miscarriage will pay, he'll be punished, meaning he has to make financial restitution to the woman who lost her baby. If one causes a miscarriage, that's not considered a capital crime, that's considered to be one's obligated for damages, meaning he has to make financial restitution. So the implication is, if there was no mishap of death, then he pays. But if actually he intended to kill his friend and he killed his friend, so then the murder takes the front and center stage, and there's no additional compensation to the woman, because that's sort of secondary, and we don't want to diminish the severity of the murder itself. So similar over here, since there's a capital crime going on here of one abusing his own daughter or granddaughter, God forbid, so therefore that's the issue, and there's no penalty, and because it's overshadowed by this much more severe crime, which carries with it the death penalty through the Bezdin.